Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Thursday, everybody. Sean Cantwell, Adam Harahuck, Drew Duffney, your local alternative is Solid State Radio.
And if I'm slurring a little bit today, folks, it's not because I've been in the bottle or the devil's juice, as Father John likes to say.
Yeah, but you have also been in the devil's juice, as Father John likes to say.
Well, yeah, we're getting ready to tip one for Adam's birthday, belated birthday.
Hey, yeah.
I can't help it if FedEx is a little slow on the draw.
I was talking more about last night.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm getting the story of last night in bits and pieces. It's kind of like a soap opera.
So we went out to Wednesday's.
Well, let's do it. We're doing a toast, and then we'll get to the ADHD theater.
Yeah, here's the keeping the devil waiting for another year.
There we go.
Cheers.
One more year, and then it's the big 5-0.
I'll be damned. I don't think anyone would have ever guessed that your liver would make it to 50, Adam, but here we are.
Right, exactly. Am I still considered like middle age, or am I considered elder? I think I have to wait till like 65 to be elderly, right?
52 is AARP, I think.
AARP.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I'm an ARP member. Why would I want to be that? Anyway. We're not sponsored by AARP.
No, yeah. We're not. I'm just saying if they want to sponsor, now that we are going to have one elderly member of the staff here, just saying, we'll take your money.
Yeah. the very own Serenity from Overnights.
Yeah. Our esteemed weekend colleague who's going off to Riot Fest, for which I am insanely jealous of her for
Where
this.
Where is Riot Fest?
Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And the lineup for this thing, dude, let me tell you.
Is she playing it?
She is not. That'd be super cool if she were. But I don't think they've gotten quite... the Sugar Punks are quite big enough yet to be taking that particular stage. And as I'm trying to pull up the lineup here, Foo Fighters are headlining, The Cure, The Postal Service and Death Cab for Cutie, Queens of the Stone Age, and like half of our playlist at Solid State Radio.
Wow.
Like, it's pretty amazing. Like, I'm looking just down the list here. Parliament Funkadelic is playing?
Oh, P-Funk.
Yeah.
The Breeders are playing. The Interrupters.
Can I guess Cheap Trick? Because Cheap Trick plays all of these shows.
No.
Flashlight.
They are not, actually.
Wow, wow, wow. Yibby, yibby, yibby.
I'm surprised that Parliament Funkadelic is playing this show, because it's mostly like alternative. Like, it's mostly stuff we play on this station.
Yeah, and then there's all that that's why I was asking about... Cheap Trick, because there's been a lot of times where they're like straight up metal shows. We're talking about, like, you know, Lamb of God, and then you go down the tiers like Five Finger Death Punch, and then Cheap Trick.
So
makes as much sense as anything.
I follow Parliament on Facebook, and they go live all the time.
Really?
And I don't even know 100% that George Clinton plays with them anymore.
Oh, it says Parliament Funkadelic featuring George Clinton.
Really? Well,
featuring, which means he probably comes out for the last couple songs.
Well, he's just draped in like gaudy, yeah, like gold and big clothes. No, he's never changed, other than gotten older, obviously. But they're almost like a ska band. Their band has like 13 members now.
Oh yeah. They've always have.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's smart, because he could not even, because he's not like he wears makeup or everything else. He could just walk around in like sweatpants and nobody would know who he was.
No. Well, I mean, the dreads and...
Dreads and beads and
dashikis and,
you know,
away,
and everything else. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, oh, P-Funk. I want to play some P-Funk here on Sessions on Saturday, I think.
I feel like he would still grab a lady's hand and lick it and go, woof, that's just a dog in me, baby.
Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, so she's taking off for the week for Riot Fest, which means you're not going to hear her for a hot minute, but... We ended up at the Torch last night, the wife and I, because she wanted to go out and get her Halloween on, and there's not a Spirit Halloween in Lapeer anymore, so we ended up in Burton. We go down there to see Ren, because we know she's getting ready to take off for the week. And then while we're sitting there at the bar, I get a text from Drew. Where you at tonight?
You up?
Was thinking about going to see Serenity up at the Torch before she leaves for Riot Fest. Like, well, as it turns out, Drew, we're here at the Torch seeing Ren before she goes off.
See,
the ride
I would have like taken a selfie with Ren and I'd be like, hey.
Yeah.
Send it to him. Come on up.
Probably should have, but, you know, it ended up working out. He showed up. He got us all schnockered. He tried to have everyone do a shot of, what was it, SoCo and Amaretto or something?
Yeah, Amaretto Slammer, yeah.
Sicilian Kiss.
Sicilian Kiss, I apologize. Amaretto Slammer is Amaretto and 7-Up.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's
well,
good
I didn't
stuff.
Try to. Everyone did do one. I was successful.
Yeah, there's do or do not. There's no try with Drew Duffney, apparently.
Yeah, and we all did a shot of JMO.
Of course. Because they don't have Telly up there.
Yeah, and I got a chocolate orange.
You did, which I thought was rather an interesting
Jameson
choice.
Jameson Orange and...
I don't
they don't have Jameson Orange there.
No, I'm assuming it was Godiva and probably Cointreau.
Yeah.
If I had to put it. Yeah. And, I mean, but she's always posting about these signature drinks and these new cocktail menu, but the problem is they are popular. And so, you know, you go there in the middle of the week and they're out of ingredients because, you know, they don't expect a big crowd on a Wednesday.
Right. Right. Like, there's one that she came up with. There's like seven different liquors called the Presidency of the United States of America. And it's like all peach stuff. And they had all the ingredients for it for a little while. And then, oh, we're out of like this thing or this one. So, well, I guess that drink's not happening anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn shame. It was really good, too.
That's too bad.
But, yeah, so that was a fun night. Drew got schnockered. Everyone got, you know, fairly inebriated. It was good times. Nicely were done. Had by all.
Well done, gentlemen.
Yes, they
well
were.
Done.
It was a lot of fun.
So that was our night last night. I figured Drew would still honestly be recovering from that today.
Why? Because I'm old?
Yes.
Yes, actually, because you're old.
Are you kidding me? No, you know what? I'm going to give a shameless plug. I got up, got a haircut. And I mean, after
got a real job,
a lot of water. Well, that may be coming too, but after a lot of water and a lot of ibuprofen, got a haircut. I thought I am going to go get breakfast, and I don't, you know, I might snag a McDonald's sandwich or something like that. But to actually go sit down at a diner, I just don't do it anymore.
I love doing that.
Yeah,
every time I can, I will sit at a diner. I get an old fashioned newspaper or read my phone or whatever, and just.
Same. Like, I used to love when I worked over in Flint on the regular. Like, I'd post up either during or after the radio show over at Crystal Joe's when that was over on Fenton and Atherton.
So, yep. I never went there. I never got a chance to go. They were always closed, and now they're closed permanently, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think the new place that replaced them is also closed, unfortunately.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And they were only open until, like, 4 in the afternoon, but, like, I'd go there in the morning, like... usually pre-radio show and sit there and usually get harassed by somebody on crew or the owner. It was a good time, honestly.
That's awesome. Will tell you, I went to the former Paul's Coney Island on Center Road.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In between Lapeer and Atherton. And it's called Freddy's.
Lapeer and Atherton. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just going to go there. I used to go there to get Coney's when it was Paul's, and I didn't realize it changed hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there this morning, and I will tell you, for a Thursday morning, almost every single table was full.
Good.
The parking lot was full.
Wow.
There was probably 13 employees in this little teeny tiny diner. And I'm telling you, like a Coney Island.
Like old-style Coney Island.
About the size of the one that's two doors over from us here.
Okay.
Okay? Right. Yeah. And there was like 13 employees. And they were all happy. They were all hustling. They were cleaning. The place was spotless.
Because they weren't overworked.
The
restaurant managers that may be listening.
Well, yeah. And it just blows my mind. Because I'm like, everybody's complaining. You can't get help. You can't. Somehow this guy got help.
Yep.
And they're not all his family members.
No.
Okay, sometimes you see that, right? You got your cousin and your sister and your wife and your daughter and all these people are in there working.
Yep.
And it's all the same
family.
Yeah,
it's usually how that works.
Yeah, which is cool. But that is not the case here. These clearly, there was multiple ethnicities and everything else.
Sure.
And I'm just watching this happen and I'm just in amazement, right? And so they called it a Southern Benedict, which... It was a play on Eggs Benedict, but actually not at all. It was an English muffin with a sausage patty with a poached egg covered in sausage gravy.
No hollandaise sauce. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Cheese on top. And it was
that sounds amazing,
and
though.
It was sausage instead of ham, obviously,
or
Canadian bacon or whatever they call it, pea meal bacon.
Yeah.
hash browns were perfect. Clearly, they were not frozen. I mean, they were shredded. I mean, and they weren't too crispy, but they weren't raw either.
Ooh.
And they were fluffy, which it's hard to get fluffy hash browns anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was just great.
Yeah, unless you do them by hand, you're that's not happening. I love a good hash brown. You guys are making me hungry.
I am a sucker for a good hash brown. I'm fine with mine being a little crispier, though. Like,
I like
want a crispy, but I don't
like the ones on fluffy. Like,
I like the ones on top crispy and then, you know, a little soggy towards the bottom.
Okay, that's fair. That's
the
ideal,
variety pack.
Yeah.
What I don't like is I don't like my hash browns to come out like a pancake. I don't want one sheet of crispiness.
No.
You know, where it's like one giant cornflake or something.
No. Yeah, no one wants this.
Now, find me a place that has like fried potatoes or like home fries or something like that.
They have home fries, yeah.
Then I am their bitch. I will go there.
I called the waitress over when she was done and they were just busy. And I'm like, which one's Freddy? Because there was two people in the kitchen and clearly he was in there.
Yeah.
She says, he's never owned a restaurant before this. And she says, I will tell you, I've been a waitress for more than 30 years.
Wow.
And she said, I could retire from here. He is the best boss I've ever had.
Wow.
Really?
That is something right there.
And so I am not afraid. Go see Freddy's on Center Road in Burton.
They're not sponsoring us, but you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
Go to Freddy's.
God help anybody who goes there. Because, and all their desserts are homemade. Pies, tiramisu, baklava.
Well, I want you to take me there.
All right. We'll do that for your birthday.
It's already passed. Next year?
Oh, sure.
Okay. The next one.
Yeah. I'm sure you're getting another one.
I wouldn't guarantee that now, Drew. let's not write checks or ask Can't Cash.
Yeah. No kino and no liquor. I mean, you know, it's going to be a sober party.
Well, who says we don't pregame before or drink after or
actually,
both?
Yeah, a lot of that food that we just talked about is about perfect after downing a couple shots of whiskey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But let's go be real winners and drink at 7 o'clock in the morning and then go to this place and get breakfast.
See? Now he gets it.
Now we're talking.
He gets it. Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm good with a good bout of day drinking every so often. I just am usually still up from the night before, so.
At some point in the show, we have to talk about the rye that Drew brought me. This stuff is fantastic, and we talk about whiskey every once in a while on the show, and we're doing it tonight.
We'll do it next. Okay. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Billy Talent, your local alternative, Solid State Radio, streaming the world at solidstateradio.net, the Solid State Radio app, the Solid State Radio skill for your Alexa or other wiretap device.
Hey, Alexa, play Solid State Radio.
What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahog. I'm Sean Cantwell, and he's Drew Duffney.
Drew Duffney brought in some things for us to try.
The Liquor Fairy.
Yes, the Liquor Fairy. I gave him the name Liquor Fairy, and I'm very proud because he uses that moniker to this day.
I do.
He brought in, he gifted me this Hudson Manhattan Rye Whiskey, and this stuff, apparently they don't make it anymore, according to Drew. Drew?
The company is still open, but they changed their batching and their labeling. It was almost like it was too good, so sorry, now we're going to mass produce it and ruin it. Because I actually read something on Reddit or one of the websites that plainly said, why did Hudson Baby Bourbon take their bottle and just ruin it by making it gross and making it taste like maple syrup and then putting an ugly label on it?
Yeah, because the label is very generic, and sometimes that is how you know you're getting a good getting a good batch.
Yeah, and this is I enjoy this bottle. The bourbon, it's embarrassing because I would prefer to have gotten you the bourbon, but you just can't. You know,
I am very happy with this. We opened this up. It took a while to open it up because the wax on there had been aged. Judging from the wrapper, it looked like it was from 2018. We opened it up, and I'm a bourbon fan, but with a rye, I mean, Sean, help me out here. Is a rye a bourbon, but a bourbon's not a rye? I mean, how does this work?
Oh, you would ask me that question.
We need Jim for this.
The classification, there has to be a certain amount of rye in it to be considered rye.
Gotcha.
So
this, the octane on this is actually very delightful. It is 46%, which gives it like about 92%
92 proof.
It's got a little bit of a burn, but not too much. Not too much. A little bit of a burn, very aromatic. That's the word I used. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, cloves or nutmeg a lot of times when you get some of those spiced drinks. No, very aromatic. You taste it all over the tongue. You get a feeling for it in the nose, but in a good way. And then it's got a very interesting finish. It's not a scotch, but very much a scotch quality. It's, you know, got that taste to it, because I'm not a scotch fan by trade. I'm digging this very much. And then anybody else want to comment on?
Well, the 51% is the magic number. So to make it a bourbon, it must be at least 51% corn mash. To make it a rye, at least 51% rye.
Gotcha.
So there's your differences. And the other bottle I got.
Back to the Hudson. You guys all drank it. What is your, I mean, Sean?
I rather like it. I mean, it's definitely got that that burn up front that lets you know you're drinking rye.
Yeah, for sure.
But finishes pretty smooth.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this so much. And then, okay, Drew.
So, and since the other show that Adam does with me there here on Solid State Radio, thanks to Sean.
The Blarney Hour.
It's the Blarney Hour.
Eight to nine on Saturdays, Solid State Radio.
Some Shanky's Whip.
What on earth is Shanky's Whip?
It's just how I like my women. Smooth and Irish.
And full of alcohol.
Also true.
So it's a dark liqueur. Runs about 66%. And the plain description from everyone is very generic. Says it tastes just like cake frosting. So I'm like, what do you mix it with? One guy's like, well, I mixed it with strawberry vodka and it tasted like strawberries and cream. But yeah, it's supposed to taste just like vanilla cake frosting.
Absolutely. I'm drinking some right now. And I don't know. My knee-jerk reaction would be to do half and half that and Kahlua. But, you know, your mileage may vary.
Try it on the rocks or as an ice cold shot with your favorite mixer is what the
see that's cheapening. I mean,
I've never seen liquor with a refundable. It's a returnable.
Return. Get out of here.
Yeah.
What states take this back?
Iowa.
Yeah.
Maine and Vermont.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of those.
Iowa's a nickel. In Maine and Vermont's 15 cents.
Wow, we're really delving into this bottle where you can recycle it.
Anyway.
We're really breaking it down like crazy.
Yeah, nobody cares.
No,
Irish whip.
I am digging that. This would taste really good in a coffee.
Yeah.
This is really good. This would really be good in a coffee.
Our listeners are probably going to find out we're putting them to sleep talking about liquor. Yeah, they probably can't go to their local watering hole and buy. So, but no, it's going to be a delicious afternoon right here in the studio. We got lots coming up today, don't we?
Yes.
Plenty of stuff to do yet. So let's go ahead and, well, we'll play a couple tunes and get into it. Here's Jimmy Eat World at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Brother Kane at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. There's Drew Duffney, and I'm Sean Cantwell.
Drew and I were drinking with the drummer from Brother Kane, track, the other day.
I want you to reach out to him, too, because he had a special event coming up with Luke Bryant. He's going around playing in... And there was a connection in, like, that was one of his daughter's, like, favorite things.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she's going to get to be backstage, and I want to see what the outcome of that, because I think it's today or tomorrow.
What do you think? I want to see if Luke Bryan nails her.
No.
That's my cousin, dude.
No, your cousin's daughter.
Yeah, my cousin's daughter, which makes it my
second cousin.
Third cousin, actually. But, yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway. I'm just glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Because I thought this might be something that would be right up your alley.
Sure.
Coast Guard arrests man trying to run a giant hamster wheel across the Atlantic.
What? That sounds like a... Like... The Titanic sunk going across the Atlantic. What hope did you think you had in the damn hamster wheel?
Well,
how far did he get?
Is it like a hamster wheel, or is it like one of those balls?
No. It's a hamster wheel. It's a cage with a bunch of life preservers in it.
Unbelievable!
I'll have you guys post the story on the website there.
Oh my god!
But it reminds me of back in when I was a kid. We used to go to museums in Niagara Falls or whatever, and they would talk about all the people that tried to go over the falls in a barrel.
Yeah, 1920s. A lot of people tried to go over the falls, and I think because one person survived, they're like, "Oh, I can do that too." And a lot of people tried to go over the falls in a barrel.
Yeah. So he can't reach his destination without running afoul. The key problem is his vessel, a giant floating hamster wheel made of buoys and wire, self-propelled by him, running inside. He lives in Florida after being granted asylum from Iran, was taken by the Coast Guard last week aboard his vessel following several days of back and forth with the authorities. According to a criminal complaint filed in the U.S. District Court of South Florida, this had to be Florida, the Coast Guard cutter came across him in his homemade vessel about 70 miles east of Tybee Island, Georgia. They were prepping for hurricane when they found him.
I thought you meant Georgia, the country. Like, wow, he almost made it.
Yeah. He told officers his destination of London, more than 4,000 miles away. He was asked for the vehicle's registration, and he said it was registered in Florida, but he couldn't find the registration. The Coast Guard assessed his vessel, known as Hydropod, and determined that he was conducting a manifestly unsafe voyage, according to the Coast Guard. The officers then approached him in a small boat and instructed him to join them. They were ending his voyage due to it being unsafe. He replied that he had a 12-inch knife and would attempt to kill himself if the officers attempted to remove him from his vessel.
What? Wow.
The officers went back to their boat and stayed nearby. When the officers tried again over the next day or so to get him to join them, he displayed two knives and threatened to hurt himself. Officers then boarded his vessel. He also threatened to blow himself up along with his vessel. The officers saw him holding wires in his hand and believed him. The following day, a second Coast Guard showed up and sent a small boat to deliver food and water and word that a hurricane was coming.
Which he promptly put into his cheeks.
He still wouldn't leave. On the 29th, boy, this went on for like a long time.
Why was this not on CNN? Oh, we're going live here. Chopper, CNN, above this a-hole in a hamster wheel going. Oh, yep. He's getting wet, folks. He's getting wet. Oh, it looks like he's got a water bottle with a spigot on it. He's sucking on that. It looks like. wow.
So he's been released on bond, and he actually, part of his conditions of release,
yeah,
he can't go in the ocean. They banned him from going to the beach.
Wow.
This was far from his first encounter with the Coast Guard. He's attempted voyages in a similar homemade vessel in 14, 16, and 21, all of which resulted in the same intervention.
This time they're like, oh, hey, Bob, what's going on? How's the kids? They're all worried about you, a-hole.
I can't even imagine. Like, I'm looking. There's a whole, this is a whole long story. So, yeah, we definitely need to post this on the website.
Oh, my God.
Talk about ambition.
Stupidity. I mean, there is ambition, but there's a lot of stupid people who have ambition.
I mean, this isn't even like Amelia Earhart back in the day.
No.
Can you even fathom how much food he would need to put in that little floating hamster wheel to go 4,000 miles running?
He probably didn't even think about that. He's like, I'm just going to run 4,000 miles. I should be there in about 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Atlantic. Wow. Okay, there are big waves. There's a lot of fish that want to eat you. Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. The guy's got a mental illness. He's like, I'm going to kill myself. You don't let me. You're going to kill yourself anyway.
I just want to know where he gets the money for this much material. In that, you know what I'm saying? Or you just... Is it a GoFundMe account or?
Yeah. Well, he's probably got a wife who's got a really good job, and she's like, you know what? I'm tired of hearing about. Billy. Yes, hamster wheel, Atlantic Ocean. Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll meet you in London. We'll see you later.
Yeah, go out to your man cave. Yeah, you just keep working.
There you go. And there's she wakes up in the morning. He's gone. Calls up her mother. He's finally gone, Mama. He's London's problem now. Or
well, God knows where.
And they had something similar. There was not a hurricane, but that big storm that just come through a few weeks ago in Florida.
Yeah,
and caused all those big floods.
Yep.
Apparently, one of the things that flooded was a gator farm. And so, of course, they have like a lake or a pond or whatever that the gators live in, like a sanctuary type thing.
Yep.
But the water level had risen so high that the gators were now out of the fence, and there's like 40 gators just running around the city. You know, they're just like...
The rat problem's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
And so was the poodle problem, yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
I just imagine like the gators going... Man, Chucks, we're supposed to be out in the wild and everything else. We're in this confine. I just don't feel like I'm a real gator. Well, the water's rising. Chet, see you later, bud. See you on the other side.
Uh huh. Yeah, no, Florida's something.
Florida. Glad I'm not there. A great place to visit.
We're not going to have a whole lot to talk about.
No, because we still have California and Arkansas. So, I mean, yeah, we're good. We're good.
True.
We're good.
That's true.
And Utah, because they're just fun. They're just fun
yeah,
people
Mitt
out
Romney's
there.
Mitt not going to run anymore. He said he's too old.
He's not running, period. He's going to be on a rascal scooter.
Uh-huh.
Screw the working class.
Blur at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and there's Drew Duffney.
And I got to say, Blur is what we would be. You know, if you listen to the last segment there, we said we don't really want to live in Florida. But I did find out if I wasn't living where I'm happily living now, where I want to be.
Where's that?
Portugal.
Portugal, the
Why
man.
Why Portugal of all places?
Well, I will read the first sentence and tell you. Good door opening there, Seanster. There is so much surplus of red wine in Portugal, it's flooding the streets.
There's just wine in the streets in Portugal. Just...
Yeah, it's raining wine.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I can't think of a racial kind of accent to give for Portuguese, so I guess I'll just...
So let's not do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I mean...
You're walking
just watch the news. They caught that guy, that murderer.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in Portugal, I think.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, he was from Pennsylvania at that time.
Yeah, he's in Pennsylvania.
That's one way of deciphering the incredible scene that unfolded... I'm not even going to try to pronounce the town, because it's not Irish. A small town where millions of liters of wine recently overwhelmed the roads. The roughly 2.2 million liters. Can
wow.
you imagine? That wasn't like
wow.
a flood. Like, it's ankle deep. 2.2 million liters of wine, 581,000 gallons, poured out of a two burst tanks in this city on Sunday. A viral video from the scene shows a river of wine rolling down a hilly street,
yeah,
sluicing over its curbs.
Oh, God.
The company issued a statement saying,
sorry, heads up.
It profoundly laments the incident, pledging to bear the costs of the cleanup. It sits near Portugal's coast, roughly an hour's drive from Porto. No one was hurt by the torrent of wine, but it did reportedly flood at least one cellar. Oh, all I can think of is Seamus Kennedy in the bar that caught on fire, and they're in the basement. Local officials are now working to repair the damage done and also to prevent the alcoholic liquid from affecting local farms, vineyards, and water supplies. The large amount of wine was being stored at the distillery through the governor's crisis distillation program, which aims to use as incentive funds to remove a glut of wine from the market pipeline before the year's harvest. It was slated to be converted into alcohol. Portugal has the world's highest wine consumption rate per capita.
Wow.
Really? I figured it would have been like, you know, Italy or something.
Yeah, because Italy, that, I mean, it's, oh, good morning. Here's your morning wine.
Exactly. Like, I would have expected them to be the mm-hmm. highest consumers per capita, or us, because we're just a bunch of alcoholics.
We don't
here.
Drink wine.
When well, was you time? Drink wine. Anyway.
I drink wine, but when was the only time we ever had wine was champagne, or we can't even call it that. It was sparkling wine, because when Steve Yzerman came over to the Wings, it's a lot like the Red Wings.
It always is with yeah. you.
Local officials say they interviewed a man named Giuseppe, and his grandfather has not left the ditch since the incident and refuses to come inside. No, that's
grandfather.
Not real. That's my own addition
yeah,
to the story.
I was going to say, that's starting to sound like a Saturday Night Live skit. Grandfather, it's like over the curb and everything else. There's a lot of dirt in it. It's like, that's fine. I'm fine with it.
They called in the firefighters. The distillery also thanked the local firefighters who were able to corral some of the wine and take it to a treatment plant. What?
To purify it? Make
yeah,
it
make it into alcohol. Yeah, yeah.
See, something. Now there you go. That is recycling. That's yeah, a recycling yeah. I can get through.
Yeah.
The firefighter's like, I wasn't trained for this. I have a firefighter, not wine fighter. I don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
We need a training video.
Somebody get me a sponge.
Yeah, right? Ringing up. I don't know. I'm not a red wine drinker.
I could be, though.
I'm not an any wine drinker, honestly.
I mean, Cabernet, Merlots, they're so bitter. I mean, I can drink a glass, but I mean, my red wine drinking is like the sweet ones, the dessert wines and
yeah,
stuff like that. Yeah. They have the, right now is the season for
Witch's Brew.
Yeah, yeah, I always screw up how to pronounce Leelanau.
Yeah,
Leelanau Cellars. They put out Witch's Brew. I mean, it's all year long, but now they like really mass produce it. And this is when I like to buy it because it's got, you know, a lot of the spices. It's a spiced red wine. And the first time I bought it, they suggested you heat it up. Don't boil it because you'll boil out the alcohol. And what's the point of that? And I'm like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. So I just drank it at room temperature. I was like, it's not without its charm. Then I heated it up, and it was like
all the spices opened up. Oh yeah, for sure. When you go to I've been to Traverse City at the very winery, and when you go there, they have a witch's cauldron there, and it's like a crock pot shaped like a cauldron.
Sure.
And they got mulled spices in there floating around, and they ladle it out hot. It's like drinking hot apple cider there.
Oh, it's like I call it wine in HD. It's just
everything elevated in so many ways. There was a time we went to Vegas with Chris and Scott. And the whole meal was comped. So I actually didn't care. And they're like, oh, what do you have? And I'm like, well, first off, I want you to understand that we're big drinkers. So I would like wine with every course, please. And it was like a fancy restaurant, like where you had to wear a collar and stuff. So we had like five courses. It wasn't seven courses, but there was definitely five courses. Sure. And not the dessert wine, because that ended up being ice wine, which if you've never had ice wine... That usually comes That comes from the northern states like Michigan or Oregon, places like that where it gets really cold. And how ice wine, and Canada, actually, and how ice wine is made is in the winter when the grapes freeze, it has to get to a certain temperature below zero, and then they take them in and press them in a cold room. And the drop of juice that comes out, highly concentrated, there's so much sugar in it that it won't freeze, that is what they use to make ice wine.
Damn.
Ice wine, actually, it pours almost like syrup. That's how thick it is.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah. I'm not on board with that.
Yeah, and that was... But, I mean, essentially, it's like a wine Slurpee, and it's usually a higher alcohol content because of it, because it's a high sugar content.
That's fine, but I don't like that texture. I don't like the real thick stuff.
But in the middle, I had something that was called a cranberry wine. And I will tell you, it, again, comes in a small bottle, but Michigan does blend one.
Yeah.
And cranberry wine is actually pretty delicious. It is cranberry juice, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I'm trying to find... Dorothy, my wife, found a strawberry rhubarb wine in a small little grocery store where my dad used to live. And she's been chasing that high ever since. I cannot find a strawberry rhubarb wine.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah.
It's probably a Southern thing. They sing songs about it.
Didn't we have one at Jim's wedding? I think there was a rhubarb wine of some sort.
If there was, she didn't know about it, and it's probably for the best because she would have got zooted on it.
But. It's a local winery that does it. We'll have to ask James if we can get him in here a little bit later today or tomorrow about that.
That would be great because I got a wedding anniversary coming up, and if I could bring her a bottle, make my job a lot easier. If you know what I'm saying, wink wink, nudge nudge.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Lincoln Park at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahug. That's Drew Duffney, and I'm Sean Cantwell.
Hey, 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 everybody.
What's going on?
Another thirsty Thursday.
I don't think anyone's going away thirsty around here today, man.
Well, as much as we drank last night, I sure did wake up thirsty.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
We talked about it on the air. We drink no small amount, certainly.
What is your guys' worst hangover experience?
Blue Maui.
I didn't mean what you drink. I mean, when you woke up the next day, what was the moment?
So,
Sean is not mincing any words. He's like, oh, I'm going first.
My first one, it was not long after I turned 21. It was a friend of mine you have met who had ties to a certain hockey team here in Flint Town.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And he got me drunk one night it was like basically a modified Johnny Vegas, but with vodka instead of tequila, which was probably better because tequila has never been a friend of mine and to this day still isn't. And I managed to keep most of this down that night as far as I remember. So... 5 o'clock vodka and Monster and Watermelon Pucker. And we did multiple glass.
Wow. What trailer park was this?
This was, so we were up on, we're up at his place up in like Barnes Lake at the time. And we were just like, and we're talking like the Red Solo cups full of this concoction. They're wow. about half vodka, 5 o'clock vodka. At that.
Oh, man.
About a quarter or a third of Watermelon Pucker with a splash of Monster for flavor. We started out with a 40 of Milwaukee's Best Ice, which should have been the sign that
yeah.
it was going to be a bad
the
night.
The Beast. Oh, a 40? Amateur.
Well, okay, the 40 was one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
yeah.
the multiple, basically, pints of Johnny Vegas. Like, we killed an entire fifth of vodka. I end up at some point going back and just drinking the rest of the Watermelon Pucker and literally every beer that was in the fridge there. And I was full on blackout. I don't remember most of the night. The yeah. next morning, I had to work at 10 a.m.
Oh, God. Where at?
I was at a pizza place here in Lapeer at the time.
Oh, wow. Wow. And
that
okay.
had just recently, at that time, come under new ownership that was rather unbearable, to be quite frank. And it was me and one cook on the lunch shift. I was basically the delivery guy. My cook quit in the middle of the shift. While I'm like in and out praying to the porcelain gods in between deliveries, my cook quit in the middle of the lunch rush.
Wow, what a dick move.
So I was doing, well, I don't blame said cook at the end of it. Like I said, our owner was not good people. So I ended up having to cook the rest of the day while I'm like trying to, like hell, to make it through this shift.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've been that hungover since that day. I think the only one that comes close is a birthday a couple years ago, which ended up turning sour the next day for completely unrelated reasons. So yeah, that is probably my worst, like, I shouldn't have been able to be up at 9 the next morning, considering I was blackout by about 9 and continued to drink till at least midnight that I remember, that wow. I've been told.
I got absolutely wasted. New Year's 1999 into 2000. Went to a party at the American Legion Hall mm-hmm. here in Lapeer, and they had an open bar. He pauses for
first mistake.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, yeah, but everybody thought the world was going to end. Yeah. I remember that New Year's that you're talking about. I was actually at our friend's, so yeah.
Yeah.
But they're like, we're not charging anything because we don't know if the computers are going to blow up the world.
Oh, man, I got wasted. I proposed to my girlfriend at the time.
Did you make it to the altar with that one?
Nope. Nope. Anyway, go to the open bar, and I'm thinking, and I was like 24, and I was still relatively new to the whole drinking game, so they said you don't mix alcohols. I'm like, well, gin, rum, vodka, they're all clear liquors, so it's the same, right?
Oh no,
got blottoed. I mean, the next day I was I felt every molecule hurt. It took me like a day and a half to recover from that. No, it was terrible.
Yeah, no, that I spouted off Blue Maui because that was my first hangover, I think that's when I learned what. And I was underage, obviously.
You were 12.
No, I was 14. I was not old enough to drive. And we had my friend's older brother's friend buy us. You know, we had to go three classmates up in line. And we split a fifth of Blue Maui at 14 and drank it all in one night and woke up with blue crust around our mouth and had to convince their dad that it was Kool-Aid. Because, we woke up and our mouths and our tongues were blue if you've never drank large amounts of Blue Maui. But now, in thinking back, because there have been so many bad hangovers, and I will tell you, I've never said I'm never going to drink again or I'm never going to drink X alcohol again. And something that you know about me that Sean probably does not know about me.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a gag reflex.
He doesn't.
Drew does not puke ever.
No. So when I was a kid, I had epilepsy, and one of the triggers was I would vomit. Every time I have a seizure, I would vomit. So I don't know if it's like a subconscious thing or what. But like, if you want to do a beer chugging contest with bottled beer, I will smoke you hands down every day of the week because I can literally deep throat the entire bottle and just tip it back and it's gone.
It is something to behold.
So that being said, because I can't vomit, I can't get rid of the alcohol. It's just there. And I worked at a local donut establishment here that comes from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when I discovered camping as an adult, right? We went camping as kids with our family, but like as an
Takes
adult.
A whole other level.
Yeah. And I bought a tent at our local retailer and went a few miles down the road and camped. And I took one of those Coleman thermoses. And when I say thermos, I don't mean like what you put your coffee in. I mean what you have at the baseball game.
Yeah.
And I did the Seanster, right? Took a canister of powdered Country Time lemonade.
Okay.
A 3-pound bag of ice. And I poured the ice in there, poured the canister of lemonade in there, and poured 2/5 of 5 o'clock vodka.
Oh.
And it was just Drew.
Oh,
like there was
Lord.
Nobody else. It was just me at the campground. And I mean, I was set up. I'm no stranger. You guys know that I'm outdoors, you know, making my own fire,
so it was
cooking.
Just you at that campsite? Were you like at like a KOA?
Lake Minnewana out here in Minnewana.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there were families there, but it didn't even matter. Like there was no cell phones or anything back then. I mean, it was kind of remote. I mean, I was in a tent. Everybody had campers and their kids playing frisbee and jarts and everything else that's going on.
Get away from my campsite.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there and I just got turnt. And I remember calling the owner the next day and going in. We were dating at the time of the restaurant. And I went in there and she just looked at me. She goes, "You are peaked white." She goes, "Well, what did you drink?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's vodka and lemonade." She goes, "How much?
What didn't I drink?"
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm camping. It's not like I could go get more, but I actually consumed that entire amount in one night. I drank 2/5 of vodka in one night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And my head had never hurt. I was weak. I was dizzy. I was seeing stars. I mean, it was. So when you talk about the worst hangover, that reminded me of that. And she just literally just put me in the back room, and I sat on this little foldable stool, and they brought me like a bagel sandwich and like just pouring bottles of water down me. And as I'm eating and drinking, I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just...
You're smelling of vodka. Yeah. So, okay, now we talk about our worst hangovers. The people listening may want to know our best hangover medicine, remedies.
Let's talk about it next.
Yep.
All right, here's Snarls at Solid State Radio. Counting Crows at your local alternative Solid State Radio. So, in the last segment, we shared some hangover stories.
And it made my head hurt just talking about it. Yeah,
I've got a few of those. Like that one, the one I told you is the only time I can remember getting like totally blackout drunk, though.
Yeah.
Like, the birthday from a couple years ago was close, but somehow, even in my inebriated state, I could still remember the code to get into our house. So
Yeah. Well, there's been a couple birthdays where I hang out with this guy, Drew, to my right here. I don't remember my 30th birthday. I remember being 29.
And then waking up and
poured into
now.
My hallway in my my trailer. And then I woke up 30 and... thirsty.
But you asked about
hangover cures
that they don't want you to know about.
Well, because if you talk to anybody, you talk to 20 people, you're going to get 20 different hangover cures.
It's true.
If you're asking, I mean, are you asking us what
works
tried,
for you?
That's the thing. What is tried and true? Because for years, I've always felt that the only solution is sleep. It doesn't really matter. You can get up and some people say, eat a lot of greasy food, go get biscuits and gravy, or eat Taco Bell before you go to bed, or take 2 ibuprofen before you go to bed.
I don't recommend Taco Bell before bed.
Yeah.
I will say that.
And I don't recommend taking any kind of aspirin because
your throat will bleed.
No. Well, yeah, liver problems, because if you add a pain reliever to alcohol, it can cause problems.
Yeah.
In the long run, but yeah.
There's 50 different things, but I will tell you, as I live now and been doing it this many years, and actually I follow a similar fitness regimen, believe it or not, I follow a fitness regimen, this guy online, and he's like,
"You're better than either of us."
He's like, "Alcohol isn't going to cause you to gain weight." He said, "The damage it does," he said, "can be counteracted by water." And so I have learned that if I drink 80 ounces of water a day, and then as soon as I wake up after a bad hangover, as I did this morning, first thing I did was I drank 4 bottles of water. As hard as it is to do, because you're already full and bloated and sweaty and gross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if you can pound 80 ounces of water, like four bottles of water, and just chug them and force yourself to do it mentally, I swear to you, you'll feel better.
Well, because one of the reasons why people feel hungover is because they're dehydrated.
Yeah. And one thing that you and I discussed, I don't think Sean was here when we talked about this, because I think it was on the Blarney Hour, but go to your local brewery. Quit drinking store-bought beer.
Am I wrong? You preach the gospel. I mean, you go into these places that brew their own. It's less preservatives and everything else.
Less sugar?
Yeah.
There's no syrups there?
We go to Tilted Access, where Drew and I will be broadcasting later on this month. But we'll get stuff from them and drink that, and we feel amazing the next day.
We did the very trip that you're talking about. That night, we drank a vodka, a whiskey, a gin, on top of how many beers, came back to the studio, finished our growler of their beer, and didn't have a hangover the next day at all.
No.
Like, not just, you're a little bit tired, but not, no
thunder. That's because we got like 4 hours sleep.
Yeah.
But mine is water and V8.
Yeah.
I love V8 anyway, but I mean, on it gives you some nutrients. Everything else kind of helps you out. But yeah, then plan on a long nap.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sleep, you know.
The sleep has never really been a huge, like, I mean, mostly just because I don't get sleep and I'm forced to function the next day relatively early hungover. But there was always two things. It was always one or the other. Either the big old greasy Coney Island food,
yep.
Either before or at the end of the drinking session or the next morning, either way can still have the desired effect. But one that, and this one I got to give credit to the wife on, that she found this worked, and it's worked for us both since. Subway does, you can get any like 6-inch sub that they offer as a salad. And that, for some reason, just getting a bunch of veggies with, you know, the bit of meat and cheese or whatever, it works. I don't know why it works, but it does.
Yeah, you're telling me this. Drew is nodding his head, and I'm sorry, I'm skeptic. Vegetables like kind of help you out with this
somehow. I don't know.
I drink V8. Oh, you mean vegetables help you?
Well, yeah.
Dumbass. It doesn't taste like ketchup. What's going on?
I mean, if you just take Sean's remedy or Rachel's remedy in this case that she put on Sean and put it in a blender, it's the same as yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And basically what you're doing is you're hydrating, you're getting your vitamins.
Yeah, you're getting all the nutrients there.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Well, one thing I learned about a hangover is I can never, ever, ever tell my cousin Rochelle, because she's RN, and she has found a lot of reasons to stick an IV in me.
Just the threat of poking at him with needles is enough to scare off the hangover.
I'm good. No, I'm fine. I was like, what is wrong with you, lady? Why do you keep wanting to stick me with needles? She's like, it's fun.
Okay, yeah, so that's actually a thing in Vegas. They got the hangover bus.
Mm-hmm.
And the needle thing that Rochelle is talking about is not out of the question.
Well, she's a nurse. I know she knows what she's talking about, but, oh, man, I just
don't like getting poked with needles.
I'm about to get an IV or whatever on Monday for my colonoscopy. That's right. Sponsored by Cell State Radio. And our wonderful health plan.
But no, they just, all
what
they're
health
doing.
Health plan? The health plan here is don't die.
Yeah. They just load you up with vitamins and nutrients and water is all they're doing. Yeah. Like, they stick an IV in you and just, and the reason I know about this, it was a big deal because they're like promoting drinking, and your Paris Hiltons and all your celebrities that are super skinny would just go get blasted and then go to a photo shoot. And they're like, how are you doing this? And they're like,
there's an IV place in Lapeer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can buy them online. I just looked it up. I didn't know you could buy them online.
I'm not giving myself an IV.
That's the
whole
thing.
I'm absolutely zooted. It's like, I'm doing a good job. I'm just jabbing myself. Like,
yeah. Hangover 05. I am shaking like I'm having a seizure. And that's not a slander. I had epilepsy as a kid. So, yes, I shake. I need another drink before I'm sticking myself with a needle.
Well, we'll let you go ahead and get that other drink. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio.
Jack Daniels!
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Thursday afternoon. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. Tomorrow, we've got a full show lined up for you. We're going to be talking Lions because they play the Seahawks on Sunday. Maybe talk a little bit about Michigan and Michigan State. If we have to, we'll do the picks. We'll do unsolicited advice. There will be a list. It will be trash. And I think Jim Alt's coming in to talk about Porch Fest because that's this weekend, apparently. We'll do all that fun stuff coming up starting tomorrow at 3. Talk to you then. See ya.